Good morning to each of you. Good to see everyone here. Good to be together, to worship together. So just a welcome to you. For a message, I've been thinking a little bit since New Year's. I've become very aware of, as I get older, that this life is all about change of our bodies are always changing, our lives are changing, and whether we want it to or not, sometimes we change, things change, our bodies grow up and we mature to a certain point, and then there's a point of where that physical body begins to age and deteriorate and wear out, and it's a natural process, and a lot of the change in our world is natural, and it happens without us being intentional about it. But then there's other times that we become aware of things in our life, or there's things that we want to change, and we're very intentional about it, and we make, a lot of times around New Year's, we make resolutions that we're going to change something, or either quit something or start something new. And today's January 28th, so I was just kind of wondering, how many of you made a New Year's resolution this year? Not many. So, anyways, depending on what study you look at or which graph you look at, 80 to 90% of New Year's resolutions are kind of over or done with by the end of January. So if you're hanging on to yours, just know that either you have some strong willpower, but you're in the minority. But what I want to look at today is the times, when we are aware of things in our lives that we want to change or things we want to move forward. So often we're aware of it and we make this resolution and then we fall off. We don't follow through on it. So what's the difference between following through and falling off? And I think our Christian life sometimes can be the same. God, when we commit to following Him, He takes us places where, we're not sure how we got there, and we certainly weren't intentional about it. If I look back 10, 20 years in my life, I certainly wasn't intentional about standing in front of you here today. But God brings us here, but then there's also other times, when He brings about an awareness of a bad habit or some sin pattern in our life that He wants us to stop doing. And even if we're aware of it doesn't mean that we're just automatically going to stop. Not all habits, not everything we want to stop and do something new is necessarily sin, things like chewing your fingernails and things like that. Now, the person sitting next to you might, not agree with that, but, we all have something in our life, I'm sure, that we can think of that we want to either get better at or that we want to change. And if you're married and you don't really have anything, you just ask your spouse. I'm sure they'll be very willing to help you out with that one. But that's what we're going to be looking at today. Good habits. The title of my message will be Developing Good Habits. We'll be in Colossians chapter 3 for the most part. But, bad habits, they don't seem a lot of times that bad or that irresistible until we try to break away from them. But if we can shut those off and transform into good habits into our lives, it can really change our lives. It can transform our lives. But the truth is, our lives are busy, and if we want to bring something in and something new in, we're creatures of habit, we're creatures of routine, and to adjust that doesn't always feel good. Most of us, or I know for me, if my day kind of goes in a certain pattern, we seem to function better. And even coming down to sitting in the same spot in church Sunday morning, it's just kind of the way we like things and the way we do things. So Colossians chapter 3, Paul he's speaking of putting off the old and putting on the new. And a big part of following God and becoming who He wants to be is as Paul lists here, he's got this whole list of behaviors of putting off the old and putting on the new. And we're not going to focus so much today on those specific behaviors or habits that he's talking about, but more kind of the process or the principles that's in this text of how you go from the old to the new. So Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read the first 17 verses there. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed we were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in name or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this text you've given us this morning. I just pray for your guiding, your knowledge and wisdom as we work through here. Just open our hearts to receive what you want for us, and just pray that through it all that you would be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's common to Paul's writing that he, looking at this first few verses, first four verses, he draws on these theological truths, these doctrinal truths to influence what we call practice, of how people live, of how all theology, the things that we believe, they all have practical implications. And everything that we do, the practices we do, the habits we have, behind all that, there's always a theological foundation. And it's basically that, we live out of what we believe in our hearts and in our minds. And in these first four verses here, the truths that Paul is communicating, it's all about, our identity, who we are, how our lives are in Christ. And there's four things in here that we're going to work our way through these first four verses that Paul highlights. And they're the fact that you've been raised with Christ, then you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ. And then he says, when he appears, we will also appear with him in glory. And these are all truths that Paul has fleshed out earlier in Colossians, mostly in chapter 2. So we'll look at a couple of those. He says first, and if you have been raised with Christ, and going back into chapter 2, if you look at verse 12 and 13, this is in Colossians, it says, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. So this raised with Christ, this is what we would often refer to, just being born again, of putting your faith in him, of becoming something new, of putting off of that old. And he says here in verse 3, for you have died. If you go back into chapter 2, there's a couple deaths that he brings out. The first one we read there in verse 12, verse 13, he said, you were dead in your trespasses. But then later in verse 20, he says, if with Christ you died. And these are two separate concepts that he's talking about. Being, dead in our trespasses. This is, caught up in sin, of living in a habit of sin. This is, a sense of helplessness, or it's what separates us from God. But when he says in verse 3 here, if you have died and your life is with Christ, this second death it says if you died to the elements of the world, it's a uniting with Christ. It's identifying with him. It's different than being caught dead in our sins. But it's when we're raised with Christ, metaphorically die with him on the cross, of our old carnal nature being put to death. And it brings about this sense of freedom and liberation from the snares of the world, of as he talked about in chapter 2, the elemental spirits of the world, of a freeing from that. In Romans 6:6-8, he says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin." It says, "Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we also live with him." So this, you know, this destructive relationship that, you know, we have, and that the Colossians had, you know, it's that enslaving to sin, of where this dying with Jesus, being united with him on the cross, is leaving behind that past of that slavery and the power and the influences that these bad habits and habits of sin had. And he talks about this imagery of Jesus being seated at the right hand of God. You know, we've talked about that a lot in Hebrews. We went through Hebrews before, this being a position of power, of Jesus sitting there, and also the position of rest, of the work being done, that Satan has been defeated. He talks about our life being hidden in Christ. And the word life, you know, has some different senses throughout Scripture, but here it's speaking of, you know, this life of being raised with Christ. It's speaking of existence of in like an absolute sense of, you know, the opposite is death and non-existence. And the he says that life is hidden with Christ. And this word hidden, you know, in the Greek, it's crypto, and it kind of, you know, it kind of has that imagery of, we're not talking about Bitcoin here, but it's kind of, you know, with Bitcoin, maybe we're not sure, is it really a real thing or not, but, you know, our life with Christ, even though we can't necessarily see that, we don't quite understand exactly how that works. We know it's there. We know it's with him. The psalmist writes in Psalm 27, "For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent." It says, "He will lift me high up upon a rock." So our life, you know, our security, you know, our shelter is with Jesus. You know, it's a place where Satan can't touch it. You know, we talked about, you know, the victory is won. It also suggests that there's, you know, with our life being hidden, there's more to this Christian life that we can maybe comprehend. You know, Scripture talks about Jesus, you know, by death destroying the power of death. And I know for me, to completely flesh that out and completely understand that, it can be quite difficult. In Colossians 2:15, he says, "He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him." Now, we believe that, and we know that that's true, but exactly how that happened, of what exactly Jesus did, you know, in bringing this about, I don't know that I can quite grasp that. And we had this conversation, you know, Jesus died and then he rose, and there was these 3 days in between, and what exactly happened there, you know, I don't know that I can exactly explain to it, but I think that's part of what the sense here is of our life being hidden. The fourth truth here in chapter 3, verse 4, he talks about that when Jesus appears again, we'll be a part of that. And I think, you know, this is when some of those gaps maybe will be filled in, and, you know, our comprehension will be full, and if faith becomes sight. At the point of all this, Paul is saying, you know, set your mind on these things, these heavenly things, these truths that, you know, are only through what Jesus did, you know, his death and resurrection. You know, and, you know, if we believe that, and we believe that, you know, we are risen with Christ, we're identifying with him, you know, it'll change the way, you know, what we think and what we believe. This is the foundation for putting off the old and putting on the new, for the change that God wants to see in our lives. And he talks in verse 5, here he says, "To put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you." And this is kind of, you know, it's the paradox almost of the Christian life of, how do we put to death something that's already died? You know, he says we have died to the spirits of the world. You know, the world is dead to us. Then why do we have to continue to put that to death? And I think, you know, God, you know, it's kind of the metaphor for the Christian life there, where God has definitely, you know, definitively accomplished something in Jesus But you know, that full realization hasn't yet come of the second appearing of Christ, when we will appear with him in glory. So it's important to realize that we live in a world of, although the victory is won, you know, the enemy is still about us. He's still trying to distract us and to lead us away. You know, his goal is to keep us from putting on that new man that God wants us to be, to fulfill his purpose in life. But Paul's point is, you know, set your minds on the things above, the things, the spiritual things, on the victory, and then out of that, act. I think for me, you know, this progression from the thought of focusing on the good things, and putting that into the action, that progression is, you know, what I really want to get to, and what we kind of want to focus on here. Proverbs 27, it says, as he calculates in his soul, so he is. You know, as a person thinks, as he processes things, you know, that's really who that person is. You know, our physical behavior is a product of our thoughts. And I'm very fascinated by the science behind this. You know, we talked about some of the things of God are hidden that we don't quite understand, but there's some very smart people who've written books about how this thought process all works. And I think, you know, I'm fascinated by it. To understand what Solomon is saying in Proverbs when he says, as he calculates in his soul, so he is. If we understand the process that goes on and it, between the physical, or how the spiritual, you know, we put off the physical and become this spiritual being that God wants us to be. And I think the first step is recognizing that we're, as a human being, we're a three-part person. You know, we have our physical body, and then there's the Spirit of God in us, but there's, you know, what science calls the mind or the soul that kind of connects those two. You know, our brain is actually part of our physical body. It's kind of the control center of that body, and it gives out the commands and really controls what we do. But God says, and science would agree, that, you know, our brain can be changed by what we think, by our minds. Science calls this epigenetics and neuroplasticity. And I'm not going to attempt to completely explain it to you, but if we can get a little bit of a grasp of how it works, I think it helps us to understand what happens when we attempt to put off these bad habits and bring on to the new. And what it basically all means is that our brain changes as a result of our mental activity. You know, our thoughts and our choices are the signals and the switches that make our brain work. It's kind of like, if you work with computers, like the codes and the commands you write in, it makes the computer do the things. I mean, that's kind of what our thoughts and our choices do for our brain. And much like a computer with an algorithm, you know, the more we have that one thought or that one choice, the more apt we are to do it again. Like it creates these pathways in our brain to where it almost becomes like a rut, where that thought just wants to stay in there. The more we have it, it's kind of like, you know, if you get a song stuck in your head, you know, that's actually what happens. Like that circuit is just kind of keeps going until we break it with a different pattern of different thoughts. Now, this can be good if we're having positive thoughts. You know, the more positive thoughts and choices you make, the more apt you are to continue in that. But it can be a problem if we make bad choices, if we struggle with things like fear or depression and anxiety. But God gave us the ability to change that, to actually step outside of ourselves and to examine our thoughts and to change our choices. You know, 2 Corinthians 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So what's the process to taking every thought captive? You know, I think, you know, for me, we talked a little bit about resolutions. I did make two, and I don't know why. It's the first time in my life I think I did make a New Year's resolution. I guess that's part of my change of coming around, of just realizing. And the first one was just to read through the Bible in a year. And that's something, you know, I've done before. I love to read. I don't think... I'm not too concerned that I won't do that. You know, I'm well on the way, and I love to read and love Scripture. But the other one was to try to be a little healthier, try to eat a little healthier. And part of the problem with it is it's a little vague, but also part of the problem is that I really do like to eat, and I don't really like to run. So, but in order for me to do that, you know, I have to change the way I think about that. If I'm up in the morning and thinking that, you know, I just don't really want to run, you know, the way I perceive myself has to change. And God gives us ways to do that. And then, you know, I find it fascinating. You know, a lot of times it seems like science and Scripture, you know, tend to contradict each other. But, you know, from the books that I read, there's a lot of, you know, Scripture agrees, or science agrees with Scripture. And the first thing that they brought out is be still and know that I am God. And this is, you know, just the ability to quiet our minds, to take time to focus our attention, dismiss distractions, and just really we can think about what we're thinking, just to analyze what's going on in our mind. Science calls this directed rest. It's all about shutting off the external and connecting and switching on the internal. I think it's a natural function. It's part of what God designed our bodies to do this. And if we think about, you know, our natural state, who we are, you know, as a child of God, you know, if we're born again, we're a follower of Him. He says we're made in the image of God. He says we have the mind of Christ. So when we go into this directed rest of when we shut off distractions and all the outside noise, we're moving into that state of who He actually says we are. Science says when we do this, our gamma wave activity increases. These are the waves are involved in things like attention span, memory building, learning, and positive emotions. And it's recommended that this is 5 to 16 minutes a day at least. So it's not hours at a time. It's just having that little bit of time to focus and rest and connect with who we really are. Another huge influence on, you know, our thoughts, on our mental process is the things that we see and the things that we hear. You know, obviously whatever's right in front of us is what's going to be running through our mind. I think Paul, you know, if we look at, I'm going to look at verse 5 and verse 8 a little bit here in Colossians 3 and 8. It's this perfect description of, you know, really Hollywood, our entertainment industry and then also social media. Verse 5 said, put to death, you know, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness. And in verse 8, I think it's a perfect description of, you don't have to be on social media long to see this. It says, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. You know, this is, put that off. This is the stuff that has the negative influences on our thought life, on what goes through our mind and ultimately, you know, how our brain is wired. So Paul says step one is to set your mind on things, and then the step two, you know, the putting off and the putting on is actions. You know, identify what you want to do and then do it. I think, you know, setting goals and resolutions, you know, it's good to identify. It gives us a direction of, you know, what do we want to do, how do we want to go, but they're not necessarily the means of getting there. A lot of times we focus on outcomes instead of inputs. You know, the inputs are the things that we do to get where we want to go. You know, I want to read through the Bible. If I start in the front and just think about all the pages that are in there, you know, it can be quite overwhelming. And if I want to get into shape, be able to run some miles, you know, we don't just go out and go for 20 miles the first day, but you build yourself up. You focus on what you need to do day by day to get there. If you want to read through the Bible, you know, get a plan and stick with it. You know, focus on what you need to do today. Matthew 6:34 has become one of my favorite verses, and it's Jesus. The context is Jesus addressing, you know, worry of, he says, you know, God will provide for you. And he says this, he says, therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. You know, sufficient for the day is his own trouble. Yeah, we've got enough to worry about today where, you know, while we do want to have goals and places where we want to go in the future, you know, we've got enough, you know, focus on what we need to do today to get where we want to go. I think prayer is a huge thing. You know, pray for God to reveal, you know, the behaviors that He wants us to change, the, you know, the good new habits He wants us to develop, and then also pray for Him to help us through there to get to where we want to go. And this putting off of the old and putting on the new, you know, it brings to mind, you know, the imagery is a person, you know, changing clothes and of just, you know, totally leaving the old behind and going on to someone new or to something new. And there's a stark contrast here if you look at the things that Paul lists of, you know, the anger and the malice going down to, you know, kindness and humility. And, you know, a picture of this, of the putting off, you know, when Jesus rose, you know, He left the grave's clothes in the tomb. Like, He didn't bring that stuff with Him. Like, He completely moved on. Like, there's, if we're going from the old to the new, you know, there can be triggers or reminders of things like that if we try to cling on to certain aspects of it. You know, Jesus totally, you know, His old self, you know, the body that had died, you know, He left the clothes there. There was no reminders of that. We need to move on down here. Verse 13, Paul says, bear with one another. And when we're dealing, you know, with bad habits, with sin habits or whatever it is, you know, sometimes we just need help. And a lot of times we feel like we're alone, but if in a room this size, if we look around, you know, whatever you're struggling with, it's pretty much guaranteed that there's another person in here who's either struggling with the same thing or has struggled with that in the past. So a big part of, you know, of developing good habits, of becoming that person that God wants us to be, is confiding in each other and bearing with one another. You know, it can be accountability. You know, I think confession itself, you know, loosens the power of whatever it is that has that grip on us. I think the progression here from verse 13 on is pretty powerful. He says, you know, bear with one another, forgive each other. He says, put on love and live in harmony. And then it says that, you know, this will lead in verse 15 to the peace of Christ ruling in our lives. I think Paul, you know, he doesn't just give this list of stuff to stop doing, but there's also this list of replacing it. You know, if we, you know, our minds are always filled with something, and we've always got stuff going on in our lives. You know, we like to be busy, but if to just take something away, you know, the best way to fill that void is then to replace it with something else. And I think that's what Paul's saying here. You know, if you have an empty bottle and someone tells you, you know, to get the air out of it, you know, how do you go about doing that? You can, you know, try to have a fancy device to set up and suck all the air out of it and create a vacuum. But, I mean, the easiest way is just to fill it with water. You know, if it's full with something else, you know, the air goes. And I think the same way with our lives, you know, the bad things in our lives, to get rid of them, sometimes the best thing to do is just to fill it with something else. If you look at verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I mean, this is what Paul wants the Colossians people to replace the, you know, those bad things with. You know, fill your mind, you know, with the things of God, with scripture, praying, singing songs. And I like what Joe shared a couple weeks ago about reading the Bible. You know, he said you can read it once or twice a week or however long, but it's really not up to the point of four times a week where it really starts to transform your life, of you know, being in that regular habit of doing it is where it really can have an impact. Paul says, set your minds on things that are above, you know, connecting with the Holy Spirit, you know, having the things of God in our minds is really what transforms our physical body, of changing our behavior. Romans 12:2 said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think it's so powerful when we understand how that actually happens, that it's actually through our thoughts, you know, changing our brain, that actually changes our physical habits and behaviors. It's all about seeking God in His word and in His prayer, in our prayer life, as Paul says here. You know, think about what we need to do today to make happen, whatever it is, you know, 5 years, 10 years, next week. You know, what do we have to do today? You know, Paul, you know, the progression here is think, you know, set your minds on the things of Christ and then act. And a lot of times we get frustrated because it seems like our goal, you know, the thing that we want to do, where we want to be, the outcome, it seems so far off. But I think if we can set some steps in motion of what gets us there, and if we accomplish that today, you know, consider it a win. You know, we look at Paul, who wrote this letter to the Colossians. You know, we think of, and his life was radically changed on the road to Damascus, of where he was struck down, and you know, instantly, you know, had an encounter in Jesus and believed. But if we look at that timeline in Acts, you know, there's actually around 10 to 12 years from Paul's conversion until he started his missionary journeys. A lot of times it seems like that happens instantly, but even for him to fulfill the purpose that God had for him, it takes time. So have patience, don't be in a rush, and focus on what we can do today. I think you know, Mike is here this morning. We had our small group leader retreat this weekend. We're blessed by Mike and Tara being there and sharing his heart. And Mike said he likes to sneak into church here, and I think I'm going to, no more sneaking. So, we were blessed by Mike being there and sharing his heart. And one of the things he shared with us was the story of Peter walking on water, of Jesus coming to him and Peter getting out of the boat. And, you know, we know Peter wasn't perfect. You know, he had his doubts. He doubted himself when he got out of the boat and he started to sink. But, you know, Jesus saved him. But the thing that Peter did do was he got out of the boat. You know, if he never would have got out of the boat, you know, that whole story wouldn't have happened, and who knows how history would have been changed. But yeah, the point Mike shared with us was, you know, get out of the boat, just start, you know, set your minds on the right things, and start. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your attention. If you'll stand, we will close with prayer here. So, Father in heaven, we thank you so much for just this time we have together this morning of just being able to worship you and lift you up. And we just thank you for what you've done and providing that for us, God. And as we think about, creating good habits and following after you, becoming that new person you want us to be, Lord, we just pray for your help and your guidance. You know, reveal the things in our lives that need change, that you want changed. And we just commit that to you and pray to that we'd be able to follow in you, and you would, you know, as Peter had doubts and he began to sink, you know, Jesus reached out and pulled him up, and we just pray that you would do that for us. Just give us the strength to get out of the boat and then help us, God. We just thank you for, you know, this identity you've given us, that, you know, we can be raised with you. Just thank you, and just bless our rest of our time here today. Bless us as we go from here, in Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.